Happy New Year.
It
is good to see each and every one of you here today. This is Ephesus Baptist Host. It's God's host, the host he's provided for us to come and to worship and to praise him. And I ask, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen, indeed. The title of our sermon this morning is New Year's Resolutions Facing 2013. And our text for this last Sabbath of 2012 is Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 through 10. And I invite you to follow along in your Bible as I read our text, Colossians 3, 9 through 10. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. May God add his blessing to our reading, hearing, and studying of his word. Well, it's time to make those New Year's resolutions, and I wonder if you have made yours yet. Last New Year's Eve, CW made five New Year's resolutions, and I'm proud to say that he kept them all year long, every one of them. He kept them in an envelope in his top drawer of his desk. So he was proud of himself for keeping those resolutions all of last year. Most of us will end up breaking the resolutions we make. It's not that we want to, and most of us feel guilty about doing that, and we resolve every year that we're not going to do that, but it's not easy to discipline ourselves to make an 180-degree change and keep the resolutions we make. It takes effort, it takes a sacrifice, and it takes determination. Well, here are six New Year's resolutions, Glenn, that I think everybody can keep, including you and I. Gain 20 pounds next year. Stop exercising. Exercising is a waste of time. Stop reading books because that'll just make you think. Apply for more credit cards. How about that? That's a good one for next year. Focus on everyone else's faults. And last but not least, never make New Year's resolutions again. I think we could all keep those. And sometimes it seems like subconsciously they're the type of resolutions we make, although we may be legitimately trying to keep those that are beneficial. Many will make resolutions even this today and tomorrow regarding changes they wish to make for the new year. And one of the most common is to lose weight. You know, oftentimes it's a goal of everybody to lose weight at the beginning of the start of a new year. And we all know how difficult it is to remain on any type of diet or controlled eating program. But the prophet Daniel was one person who knew about eating healthy and about diets. He knew how difficult it was to stick to a diet. You know, oftentimes somebody says, I'm going to stick to this diet if it kills me. Well, Daniel and his friends, for them, death was indeed a possibility if they did not be successful with their diet. Daniel is a great example of what it means to make a resolution and stick to it. As you recall, Daniel's people, the Israelites, were taken as captives to Babylon. And Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, was determined to teach the Israelites to eat, to live, and to dress like the Babylonians. He was determined that they would follow the cultural and religious customs of the Babylonian people. He instructed Aspenaz, the chief of his court officials, to select the best and brightest of the young Israelite men to be trained in the Babylonian ways. And Daniel and his friends, whose names were changed to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were chosen as part of this training process. Now, the king's reasoning was that if those selected were converted to Babylonian ways, the rest of the Israelites would follow. Daniel have made a resolution regarding his participation. The king instructed Aspenaz to have these young men eat from the king's table, to eat the king's food and to drink the wine from his table. Daniel, as we read in chapter 1 of the book of Daniel, verse 8, said, it read, "But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine." So Daniel asked the God, the person in charge of him and his friends, if they might be fed vegetables and water for 10 days. And then after the 10 days of eating these vegetables and drinking water, they would be compared with the young men who had eaten the royal food and drank the wine. And the comparison would determine which were the healthier and better nourished of the two groups of young men. And as you know, Daniel and his friends made a resolution to eat properly. It was a resolution to better themselves, to keep themselves healthier and able to be sharper mentally and physically. Now, many of us have made New Year's resolutions probably already for 2013. Those resolutions may include making healthy choices. They may include financial changes. They may include promises to visit children and or parents more often. They may include less complaining to others. Such resolutions involve ways to improve our health, our lifestyle, or to better us, but sadly, too often when we are making resolutions, we focus on our physical self and not upon our spiritual self. We don't make resolutions to better ourselves spiritually, usually. So I'm asking now, do our 2013 resolutions include attending church more regularly? Do they include beginning to start to attend Sunday school and Bible study on a regular basis? Do they include supporting the Family Life Center as an asset for God's ministry in this community and in this county? Do they include regularly going to God in prayer and to tithe and to serve the Lord more? Shall our resolutions for 2013 include ways to learn more about Jesus and to draw nearer to Him? Because any resolution which we make, which improves our relationship with God, pleases Him greatly. For Daniel and his friends, their resolutions were more than just a health issue or a choice to eat healthy food. To adapt to the Babylonian ways would be compromising their cultural and religious beliefs. And they knew this would affect their relationship with God. And God was pleased with Daniel's resolution to stick with the determination to stick with his resolution. And the scriptures tell us that God blessed Daniel and his friends. At the end of the 10-day period, they were healthier and better nourished than the other young men who had eaten the royal food. God also blessed them with knowledge and understanding. The king tested these young men at the end of this period, and they were 10 times better in understanding and wisdom than the wisest of his top advisors. Well, does God care about resolutions that we make for the new year? Yes. Does he care about us keeping our resolutions? Yes. If there is an area in our life destroying our health, affecting our family negatively, or destroying our witness for God, for Jesus, God desires for us to resolve, to change for the better. Is there an area in your life which is affecting your relationship with God? If so, you need to make a resolution to pursue a course of action for improvement, but don't make that resolution just for 2013. Make it a resolution for life. And I know you're thinking, I am tired. I cannot do this. And God will answer you and say, if you talk to him, I know you cannot do it alone, but I shall help you. Lean on me for strength. Where do you think Daniel received the power and the strength to uphold his resolution and to do so during his lifetime? Daniel did not tackle the problem alone. He received support from his friends and strength from God through prayer. And that's where we can receive the support and strength to keep our resolutions. We can support each other in our resolve to live better lives. And we call upon God through prayer to give us the strength to do so. When can we receive our strength? Whenever we ask God to give it to us. When we sincerely want God's help. When we are willing to receive God's help. When we set aside the attitude of, I can do it, and ask God for help. He is there and will help us. You know, last week I referred to Philippians 4:13, which states, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Does this include losing weight? Yes, it does. Does this include quitting harmful habits in our life? Yes, it does. Does this include those things which affect our witness for Jesus, like complaining and an unforgiving heart? Most definitely, it does. Jesus desires to help us change our life for the better. Paul, in our text today, instructs us to take off the old and its practices and put on the new. Well, that sounds like a pretty good New Year's resolution, doesn't it? In fact, it is what we desire to do when we make New Year's resolutions. Whether we are aware of making them spiritually or physically, we want to change. We want to put off the old self. We want to get rid of old practices and to take upon a new self and to live better, more productive lives. And hopefully that desire is to live more productive lives for Jesus. Paul is speaking also more of just harmful habits. Paul is speaking of making a sacrifice. He's saying that being a Christian is more than just making good resolutions. If we talk the talk, we've got to walk the walk. We have got to do what we want, what we say we're going to do in our resolutions. It means implementing the right behavior. Our conduct should match our faith in order to become more Christ-like. More Christians claim to, many Christians claim to accept Jesus as Savior. However, they never get much into taking off the old self and putting on the new part. They never get much into the sacrifice part either. Many of us neglect the renewing and the resolving that is required daily to live more and more like Christ. We can say all we want to that we want to be more Christ-like. We want to stop complaining. We want to be more forgiving. We want to be less selfish. But unless we implement those characteristics, those traits, and act like that, what type of witness are we going to be for Christ? We're going to be hypocritical because people will hear what we say, but they'll see how we act. In today's text, Paul talks about that to the church at Colossae. He talked about putting off the old and putting on the new. Can you think of anyone better to teach us about that than Paul? Paul, who was known as Saul, persecuted and murdered Christians. Saul of Tarsus was feared throughout that part of the world. Yet, after his Damascus road experience, Saul became Paul, and he then began to spread the gospel, which he had fought so hard to eliminate. God totally turned Paul's life around, and now Paul was more than 100% committed to live for Jesus and to serve him. He had resolved to do so, and he was fulfilling that resolution that he had made to God. There is no sin too big or too great that Jesus cannot remove from our life. That's why Jesus came to earth. He didn't come just to start a new religion. He came to remove sin from our life so we would be pure enough to stand in God's presence for eternity if we accepted the gift of salvation. And what Jesus did for Paul, he wants to do for us. Of course, Paul would have what we today would consider a pretty big sin blot on his life. No sin is too great, but also no sin is too small. I think sometimes we use that analogy, our human brain, to make the analogy, well, it's just a little white lie, you know. I just cheated a little bit on my income taxes. I just overcharged somebody just a little bit. It's a sin, and sin is an affront to God. Sin is missing the mark that God sets for us to hit, to be His child, to follow Him. He'll forgive us when we miss that mark, but we can't use the excuse that it's a little sin. Jesus came to earth to remove all sin from our life. If there's a harmful habit you need to break, if there's an area in your life that is not pleasing to God, an area affecting your relationship with God and with others, then you need to turn to Jesus today. This applies to those of us who are believers, to those of us who have accepted Christ as Savior. We need to resolve to change for the better and let God help us, give us the strength to keep the promises we make, because it's better not to promise than to promise and not to keep our promise to Him. And if you are not a Christian and do not know the life-changing power of Jesus Christ, you should not leave this place today until you accept Him as your Lord and Savior. And if you do so, if the Holy Spirit touches you and you feel that you need to dedicate your life to Him, we'll be glad to share that experience with you. We invite you to come forward and I'll pray with you and I'll share with those here the fact that you have accepted Him. And if you wish to consider being a member of this body of believers, we'll discuss that while you're here. But we invite you to please come as we sing a hymn of invitation, number 445, Sweet Hour of Prayer.